You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? My days have been messed up for like a week now. It is Tuesday, 9 days away from
what month is it?
NFL.
It's August,
almost September. It's been a week, guys, and it's only Tuesday. But the NFL regular season, good news, kicks off in 9 days. So close, we can almost smell it. And for that, we bring in somebody that we're really excited to have on, Vanessa and Gallant. He is with NFL Network. He hosts Around the NFL podcast, what I think is the best NFL podcast in the game.
Ditto.
Greg Rosenthal, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Yeah, it's that time of year. We got trades, we got cuts. It's all happening.
It is all happening at once. The Twitter timeline is lit, as the kids say. Let's start by just touching on something that I think a lot of Texans fans want to know about, which is the national impression of Davis Mills. Obviously, we cover the Texans very closely, but you cover every NFL team very in depth. What is the national narrative on Davis Mills as a QB1?
I think a pleasant surprise of everything we saw last year. At least that was mine, and I think I've seen that shared, that he had a lot more juice as a rookie, especially after he came back from that injury, than expected. Like, his highs were higher. And I know he wasn't always, like, testing the ball down the field. He tended to get rid of it quickly and play it safe. But if you like, put it together, a sizzle reel of his 20 best throws, like, they were really impressive in a way that I don't think people really expected, that he's a little more athletic, and that, at the very least, I think he kind of earned what the Texans are giving him, which is a shot here at a real long look at whether he could be a long-term starter.
Hearing a lot of optimism about Mills, and Greg, I've heard you on a couple of different podcasts sound very optimistic just about this team's ability, the Texans, to win more games than expected this season. Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, just A, I think their defense is going to be highly competitive. They were for most of last year. They kind of slipped down the stretch. I just think that it's hard to lose as many games as they have been lately, repeatedly. Like, the NFL's just not built for that. I don't think it's that hard to ultimately win 6 or 7 games, and their over-under right now is 4.5. And to me, they just added a lot of solid veterans that I think can play football, guys like Jerry Hughes. The depth in terms of their pass rush, I think, is better than people think. And then the key part to them being truly interesting to watch is some of these younger players stepping up and making that leap, whether it's Nico Collins or Mills, or in some of the rookies contributing right away. So you look at that, you look at their division. I like the staff overall enough that, to me, I think they could just be in the mix in a bad division, like win 7 games. And to a lot of people, that would be very surprising after the last couple of years of the Texans have had.
I like that you said that, because we had the discussion on our show about a week ago. What would a successful season for the Texans look like? And I said, hey, 6 or 7 wins, and then just figure out what you're doing with Davis Mills, whether or not he's franchise quarterback or not. What would a successful season for the Texans look like to you?
Yeah, that's exactly. We just did a podcast where we went through every team, and that was what I said about the Texans. But to me, it was really about the young player. I care less about the winning the 7 games. I think that would happen if this happens. But between, you know, let's say there's 6 or 7 kind of young players they're excited about. Certainly, you know, their 2 first-round picks this year in Stingley and Green and Jalen Petrie, but also Collins and Mills and some of their young players throughout the roster, finding guys that you feel like can be there for a while. Now, if Mills, like, plays like a better-than-average starting quarterback, I mean, that alone almost would be a huge success. I was at that Texans-Rams game, and there were some ugly moments this preseason that had me worried, but I've learned over the years not to overreact too much to the preseason.
You mentioned sticking around a long time, and I've been curious about this with Lovie Smith. This is his 3rd coaching go-round. He is getting up there in age, and obviously the Texans just had arguably the worst public relations offseason that we've seen in quite some time, moving on from David Culley as quickly as they did, whether merited or unmerited. I'm curious as to how long Smith will stick around, and I wanted to get your feeling on that, and on top of that, too, where you would place him amongst the coaches in the AFC South if you were to rank them.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Look, I think he brings, like, a level of been there professionalism, and that the players respect him. We interviewed him at the Combine. Everyone who knows Lovie Smith respects them. I just think he knows how NFL franchises are run, and I think that's what the Texans needed right now. The circumstances with his hiring, coming off those reports that maybe it was going to be Josh McCown, and then the Brian Flores story happened. Like, that was all extremely messy. But to me, it would be even messier for him to be on like an extremely short leash that they could, you know, get rid of him after a year. And like I said, I'm optimistic kind of about how they go. So to me, I think he's at least going to have a couple years to kind of lay his foundation. Or I think there's even bigger questions about, you know, what is Nick Caserio doing here? Because I can actually kind of see the vision. But if you're flipping your coaching staff every year, to me, that just screams of a dysfunctional situation.
Let's talk a little national news for a minute. You tweeted that it's beyond weird the 49ers didn't let Jimmy G practice with his teammates all camp, and now he's staying on the team. I totally agree. I think most people would agree. We're hearing different things. We see Ian Rappaport tweet that, hey, this is all part of the plan. It's still Trey Lance's team. And then my guy Mike Silver says they're hedging. What have you heard? What is your kind of speculation, and what's the narrative around here? Because it is objectively just an odd situation.
I mean, you guys know this. There's, for some reason, we put like these NFL teams and decision makers and coaches on this pedestal where they're just like the rest of us, like in our jobs for the most part. They're like making it up as they go along. Like, there's no way they thought he was going to be on the roster. There's a report. They're like, there's no, I've literally, and I asked around, I've never heard of a circumstance like this in my 20 years covering the league where a player is at practice and not allowed to like play with his teammates. And then he ends up being on the roster. Like, there's a million ways this situation is different than almost any I can think of. And one of them is that Jimmy Garoppolo supposedly timed his surgery in an effort to not get traded, which makes sense to me. I think the 49ers were caught off guard when he underwent surgery, and that's why they were so confident they could trade him. And then the surgery kind of mucked that up. And they've been, I think, misguided and also not really telling the truth with the media and Trey Lance and all of this the whole time.
Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast with us, the NFL Network, too. Who do you think, I guess, is behind the scenes making these decisions about maybe a lack of confidence in Trey Lance and how they feel about Jimmy Garoppolo? Because it does feel like this is Kyle Shanahan's show, but could also understand where maybe it's John Lynch who is the one that's looking at the roster and thinking to himself, I'm not sure I'm feeling it. I guess, who do you think of those two has more doubt in Trey Lance at this moment in time?
Ooh. Yeah, and I hesitate to say it's, you know, largely about Lance. I think they thought in the end they had Jimmy in a good situation where they're better off having both guys. But I tend to think it's the other way around, that Kyle Shanahan does ultimately have more juice in that building. But that Jimmy G is the guy that he wanted to keep. That he, you know, he might not have been the biggest Trey Lance guy going into the draft. There were plenty of people who know Kyle Shanahan well that believed it was Mac Jones. And then at the last second, maybe it was the owner in the front office that ended up getting Trey Lance and convincing Kyle Shanahan to do that. He had to go along with that, certainly, if they're taking a quarterback at number three. But I do think it speaks to dysfunction, and this is an organization. It's something I always keep an eye on. Like, this has happened before. Coaches, GMs, team presidents, owners, all kind of going at each other in San Francisco, and they've had more success on the field, certainly, with this crew, Shanahan and Lynch, but it seems like that there's a little bit of a division there. John Lynch also, you know, supposedly was trying to get a job in broadcasting at one point this offseason. So it's messy.
Yeah. Well, how much of that do you think? I mean, it could be CYA, right? Like, you trade a couple firsts for Trey Lance and then it's not working out. Rappaport had said that it was 5 days ago that these discussions started. That lines up with when the 49ers played the Texans. So, but you said you don't think it's as much Trey Lance related. What do you see happening with the situation? Do you have Jimmy G halfway through the season, if Trey's not performing well, jumping in?
Yes, I do. Look, Bill Walsh like benched Joe Montana at one point before he won a couple more MVPs for Steve Young, not to mention traded for him. I know there were injury situations there too, but he literally benched him. So Trey Lance is not above being benched on a team that they think can go to the Super Bowl, that they think has a top three defense. If he really struggled, yeah, we could absolutely see Jimmy G. The reality is, like, the odds of Trey Lance and just his style of play, and he's barely taken any snaps in his life, is that, like, there's some sort of injury or something will happen where Jimmy G will get a chance at some point. I tend to think that Shanahan's such a good coach, that there's so much talent, that they'll probably win and that they'll probably be okay with Lance, and he'll do enough good things that he wouldn't lose the job due to performance. But if he did struggle, I absolutely believe they would bench him, yeah.
Greg, this is a very open-ended question, and it has to do with a guy who has been the center of a lot of controversy over the course of the last year. How has your opinion of Aaron Rodgers changed over the course of the past year? Because, especially over the last couple of weeks, whether it's the Nicolas Cage appreciation, ayahuasca appreciation, or opening up on podcasts that he's always wanted to be a part of, we've certainly heard a lot from him this offseason.
It's been a lot. I would say my opinion hasn't changed much. It's probably confirmed some of the ways that I felt about him, positively and negatively. Like, look, I like that he's kind of not like a cookie-cutter quarterback. We always want these guys to be a little more honest with who they are and their personalities. But there was this podcast I listened to, had to have been 6-7 years ago. It was with Pete Holmes, the comedian. And he did a couple hours, and it was one of the most revealing, bizarre podcasts I've ever heard from, like, a professional athlete. He talked about aliens. He talked about all sorts of stuff. He's got an open mind, and sometimes it gets filled with some wacky stuff. And you hear a lot, too, behind the scenes and stuff. He's a unique guy, and I would just say, like, this all makes sense to me. This makes sense for the arc of who Aaron Rodgers is.
Unique is probably the nicest word you could have used. All right, we'll wrap it up. I do just want to ask you, it is another very broad question. The AFC is loaded this year. What are some of the biggest storylines you're looking to follow, since you do cover all the teams?
I mean, well, the West is just so loaded. There's been a lot of talk about that. But I think if you just lined up who has the best rosters in the NFL, I would put the Chargers right there with the Bills, with the Bucks. Maybe the Chiefs are just behind them. So, you know, to me, it's can they capitalize on what's just a loaded team and who gets left out in that division? It's such a good conference. Like, usually we'd be talking about this Bengals team and this young core of skill position players they have as, like, you know, a potential dynasty or the best young offense we've seen in a long time. Like, you just usually don't get all these young players all together, most of them on their first contract. And yet they're looked at as like a borderline playoff team. So, those, you know, it just feels like some big-time teams are going to have to get left out in the cold in the AFC.
There you go. All right. He is at Greg with 2 G's, Rosenthal on Twitter, NFL Network, host of the Around the NFL podcast. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Good talking to you guys. Good to hear you, you know, in Houston, Paul.
Thanks, Greg.
Good gig.
Appreciate it, man. Good to hear from you, too.
Thanks, Greg. All right, more coming up, including Lovey Smith talking about Davis Mills, and we check around the AFC South. First, let me tell you about my friends at BUSR. Football season, baby, 9 days away. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have a futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans, by the way, over-under set at 4.5 games. Maybe you think they're going to win 6 or 7 like Greg and us just talked about. Maybe you think the Astros are going to win the World Series. Maybe you're a blackjack fan or a roulette kind of girl. Good news, it's all available at BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, Lovey Smith with quarterbacks has always been an interesting relationship, and we are going to dive in to that. It is roster cutdown day, so a lot of storylines in the NFL, guys getting cut, picked up on waivers, etc. One guy that I'd say is a lock to be on the Texans roster would be one Davis Mills of Stanford. And Lovey Smith, if you think he doesn't believe in Davis Mills, you're wrong. Here's Lovey on his starting quarterback.
I believe in him for good reason. I love him leading our team. We all had to perform this year. I have to do my job. Every coach, every player has to do that. But we like the way we're going. Just like every other team around, no matter what happened last year, we all have to start over again. But I like the way we're starting off. And it does come down to the quarterback an awful lot. I think everything you can do as a young quarterback that hadn't played a lot, he's done. And he's ready to take that next step.
It's really interesting hearing how effusive he's been in his praise of Davis Mills, it does make me wonder about how he evaluates quarterbacks, because not necessarily his fault, he didn't have the best track record with them over...
You're not a Rex Grossman believer?
The course of his career, no. Do you want me to list all the quarterbacks that he's worked with? Okay.
Research Powell.
Chad Hutchinson, Rex Grossman, who he did go to a Super Bowl with and deserves a lot of credit for that, because that was not a Rex Grossman-led team. That team had a legendary defense that also played pretty damn well on special teams, too, with Devin Hester back there. Kyle Orton, late stages Brian Griese. Jay Cutler.
Oh, that's right.
For a time. Caleb Haney. Josh McCown? Jason Campbell.
The wheels are spinning.
So that's in Chicago. In Tampa Bay. Guess what? Guess who's back? Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, and then Jameis.
That's a hell of a list.
They aren't very good. And then it's not his fault necessarily that he worked with all those quarterbacks.
I was going to say, some of those are the greatest Bears quarterbacks in Bears history.
Jay Cutler and Kyle Orton, honestly.
In the last Grossman. 15 years, no question.
Grossman got them. I mean, look, how many Bears quarterbacks got the Bears to a Super Bowl? It's legitimately Jim McMahon and Rex Grossman. So, there you go. I don't want to fault Lovie Smith for this. I just wonder, when you hear all of this praise, is it because Davis Mills is truly better than anyone that he's worked with? Which is not something that Lovie is saying, but it's interesting to hear him that on top of it. And there is a cynical, skeptical part of me that wonders if he would know a good quarterback, just given all of the dreg he's had to work with. He seems like somebody who maybe sees the most in a quarterback who's not very good.
Well, I think when you look at that, first of all, thank you for compiling that list, because I didn't realize that the situations for him were as dire as they were
under awful.
Center.
I mean, you can see why he ended up not getting much of a shot in his second go-round with the Tampa Bay Bucs.
A lot of those guys, I will say this, were in, I think, the late stages of their career.
Oh, definitely.
My only theory on why he could genuinely believe in Davis Mills would be that he's excited to have a young guy. He's excited to have somebody that even though he's more of a defensive mind, that he can mold. We know he has a great relationship with Pep Hamilton and that he trusts Pep to help mold the quarterbacks. My best guess is that that's why, because I don't think we've seen enough from Davis Mills for him to really, quote unquote, trust him.
I will say this too, and I mean, look, it's not like Jameis Winston's exactly had the best judgment over the course of his life, let alone his NFL career with all the interceptions.
He didn't like the licking fingers and the dubs and the...
Look, that stuff I don't mind. The other stuff, that's where it gets a little dicey with Jameis Winston. Winston was the last experience that he had as a head coach working with the starting quarterback. And I would imagine that by default, no offense to Davis Mills, the Stanford... let's call it for what it is.
Type.
Nerd is probably a lot more alluring to work with than someone like Jameis, who, best case scenario, is goofy. And I would say someone who's reckless on the field. Off the field, you can make that case too.
Right, right. And Jameis Winston was young too, but Davis Mills known to be maybe a little more responsible. You never see pictures or videos of him out. He doesn't give weird speeches.
He hasn't jumped up on a table and talked about bleeping someone in the bleep.
Crab legs.
Stealing crab legs.
Possible assaults.
The Uber. Right. I want to make that clear, because this obviously in 2022 can be turned into something completely different. I'm curious as to if Mills just being that different a personality from Jameis Winston is maybe why Lovie has been so raving about him. But I mean, goodness, that was yesterday. Friday, you heard the same thing. And he's like, Davis Mills is our starting quarterback. I didn't even know that was in question.
I was going to say, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank it, because I thought it would be Driscoll. So let's go around. Do we have our South Side drop yet? We do not, but I'll do it. South Side.
South Side.
We're going to go around the AFC South. Obviously, we're going to be doing this probably on a weekly basis at the very least. It is of interest. You just heard Greg Rosenthal talking about it. The Texans are not in a division that is super, super hard. Could they win the division in a few years? We will see. TBD on that. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts. Per Stephen Holder, Colts quarterback Sam Ellinger, Hookem, is expected to remain on the final roster after today's final cuts are complete. We know that the Colts coaches, ownership, they seem to really like Sam Ellinger. They gave him a lot of shots in the preseason. Let's go to our resident UT fan and Hook alumni. Him. Are you excited to see Sam Ellinger with the horseshoe?
Yes, I would love. I thought of this after his most recent exquisite preseason performance.
Yes, exquisite.
I would love for him to have the career of Chase Daniel and just never play, be a backup, ball out for 3 games a year in preseason against second teamers, and then just collect money, don't get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it was made clear that he will be the number three on the depth chart. It will be Nick Foles as backup.
I mean,
that's what Stephen Holder said.
Yeah.
Right. But still, no, I think that's really cool for him.
It is depressing, the state of Texas football, where one of the best players that we've seen play for Texas over the past decade. We're excited about the third stringer.
Colt McCoy is still a backup in the league.
That is the real Chase Daniel.
He is.
Colt McCoy has randomly come into games and been very good, like, over that. Because, you know, with Chase Daniel, when he came in, I don't think anyone was thrilled when he came in. There are, in Seahawks history, and I remember this just because I was up in Seattle, he's played in relief twice against Seattle, and he's won both of those games in relief. In addition to winning arguably the worst football game ever played back in, I think, 2011, a 9-6 Browns victory over the Seattle Seahawks.
I think he also has, like, I think he's like 3-0 or like 3-1 against the Cowboys, too, as the Washington backup.
With Washington, you're right.
He's like weirdly like a kill. He's like Nick Foles if he like never had a good team built around him.
The Colts also cut Philip Lindsay.
Former Texan.
Had a stint here.
A little
in
cup of coffee.
Houston. Will Shaq Leonard, formerly linebacker Darius Leonard,
gotta keep on reminding people of that.
I know, right?
It's weird.
For week one. They have to decide by 3 p.m. today. The Colts have kind of gone Astros as far as this injury goes. We don't know all about it, and we don't know how long he's expected to be out. It would be a nice break for the Texans if he wasn't available week one.
That would be fantastic, especially for a team that's trying to establish running the football. If all of a sudden one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL isn't available for that week one game, I feel very good. I like that idea, especially if, you know, Kenyon Green's still figuring out how to be an offensive lineman, if he even ends up playing in that game, starting in that game, being active in that game. Yeah, I mean, you never root for somebody to be injured, but I do hope Darius Leonard is on the PUP for week one. I would like to see the Texans go up against an easier opponent.
It'd be a big break for the Texans, and the Colts have lost the last 8 consecutive week one games, I believe, is the number.
It's crazy.
It's an incredible number.
That and the streak of losing on the road against Jacksonville,
yeah,
which is also, I think, like 6, 7, 8 games or something like that.
Yeah. Their fans were in clown masks. Not good. Let's go to the Jacksonville Jags. The Jags have traded Laviska Shenault to the Panthers, so they're making moves.
They also cut Laquan Treadwell. So I guess they feel good about their wide receiver group, or they're getting rid of two guys that were, you know, pretty decent picks back in the day.
I think Laquan Treadwell was like, or no, maybe it was Shenault that had the most yards in like the second half of the season for the Jags, and now they're getting cut, which I think, like you, Paul, I think that's a good thing. I think
probably
you don't want anyone associated with last year's team too associated with this. Short of Josh Allen, the defensive end, and Trevor Lawrence, everyone else can kind of go.
Right.
Shenault was Urban Meyer's greatest success.
That's right.
Arguably.
Quickly with the Titans, their punter of 13 years, Brett Kern, that they are releasing him.
Damn.
He's punted since 2009. Ryan Stonehouse from Colorado State
End
looks as if he's won the job. The Bills expected to maybe make a move on Brett Kern. Would be smart for them.
I don't know how long John Weeks has been with the Texans, but like John Weeks has to be officially the longest tenured special teams player in the AFC
Texans
South now.
Texans legend.
Because I would imagine that Brett Kern came into the NFL around the same time as John Weeks. Could be totally wrong on that. This is just a wild guess, but I had no idea he'd been there since 2009.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That's insane. Think about the Texans legends in a few years. You're going to have Travis Johnson, Cecil Shorts, Andre Johnson, and John Weeks.
Well, John Weeks deserves it.
He does. 100% deserves it. He's also a very nice guy.
Long snapping is hard.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, how do we feel about Aaron Rodgers? Are you energized or are you immunized? That's next.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. Huge shout out to Greg Rosenthal for joining us. You can hear that interview online later on our podcast page. He was great. One of the biggest topics of the entire last season and the offseason, all things Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Not only how he feels about witches,
Blue of Earth.
Blue of Earth, which girlfriend? Was he vaccinated? Was he not vaccinated? Was he going to stay in Green Bay? Always some drama surrounding him. Has 100%. Your opinion on Aaron Rodgers changed? We do know he will be in Green Bay now, but has your opinion on him changed?
Mine has. So I used to be so annoyed by him, mainly because of the constant whining about being a part of a Packers team that was 28-8 the 2 years before and saying like, oh, well, you know, it's not a good place to be. They don't treat people well here. Welcome to the NFL. The good teams don't treat players well. You want to be a part of a team that's able to maintain the kind of success that the Packers have had? They've been good my whole life. Going all the way back to 1995, my entire life watching football, the Packers have been at the very least competent, if not one of the best teams in the league. They've been able to do this because clearly there are structures in place that allow for that. So when Rodgers would complain about his situation in Green Bay, I got annoyed. I also thought that there were moments in the past where he came off as someone who thinks he's way smarter than he actually is. And I know that having talked with Joel Blank a couple of times, who is the resident Packers fan at ESPN 97.5, I know that he has felt the same way. Then everyone freaked out at him over finding out that when he said that he was immunized, that they felt he had lied to them. And when that happened, that's when I started to think to myself, okay, I kind of feel for Rodgers here because I don't think he really did anything wrong. No one asked the follow-up question. And if I was asked about my vaccination status and I was uncomfortable sharing with it,
Green Bay Market 50 media, baby. You don't have the John McClains or the people that are going to say immunized does not mean vaccinated.
I think in those reporters' defense, it's something you hear and you're like, do I really want to be the person that asks this follow-up question?
True. That's true. It's the groupthink effect.
Right.
There probably were a few people that had been on the beat for 20, 30 years that thought, that's weird, but no one else is asking it.
Yeah. So when it comes when everyone comes to find out, like, oh, he is not immunized. They're acting like he was this awful person and that he was like putting the community at risk. Like Aaron Rodgers, a football player, is hanging out with the community a whole lot. And like he's putting his locker room at risk. Like we're talking about professional football players that are in the best shape that they possibly are. I think they'll be okay. But that's just my personal opinion. And ever since that moment, we have seen him with this Nick Cage obsession. We have seen him just, I think, be a lot more open. And I don't know, I guess I don't hate hearing all that he has to say in a way that I think I probably did before this sort of media crusade against him, in particular last football season.
So I'm the opposite of you. My dad was a Packers fan, so I actually really liked Aaron Rodgers. I liked seeing him come up right behind Brett Favre. Per usual, like you said, structures in place to where he was set up to succeed. It's not that I hate him now. I just don't like the contrarian, everybody's out to get me, yet I'm constantly going to make sure that my name is in the headlines type of deal. I do think the honesty is refreshing, okay? When he's not talking about getting immunized, when you hear him lay into the rookie wide receivers, when you hear him talk about how it was a bummer that Davante Adams left, but he understood it. I do think, minus the immunized thing, he is one of the more honest quarterbacks in the NFL. And would you rather have someone like that or someone that gives the politically correct answer? I'd say someone like Rodgers. But I think people have soured on him because of the contrarian, I know things that you don't know. I know things more than researchers. I'm just giving you what the people's opinions are.
It's interesting that that is a sentiment about him, because I understand where it would come from. He's sharing thoughts in quick bursts. You just hear the quick bursts in a minute and a half sound clip that's gathered at his locker room, and you think to yourself, oh, man, this guy really thinks he's way smarter than everybody. But then you, and I'll admit it, I don't know if this gets me canceled in 2022.
Oh, no.
But I listened to the whole conversation that he had with Joe Rogan that dropped on Saturday, and I felt like I...
Why do you hate women? What?
That's something that is constantly said when you do things like that.
I know.
I have a friend that actually will not talk to me as much when they found out that I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
So what were your thoughts? I didn't listen to the whole thing.
I felt a lot more like I'm hearing a guy that's just very curious about things. I don't agree with everything that he has to say, but in particular, when he was talking about the things that he went through last year, both from the media criticism after he just said immunized, and on top of that, the way that the NFL was handling him as an unvaccinated player and all unvaccinated players in the locker room. It's one of those things where as we get further and further away from it, I'm starting to wonder why there weren't more people that were just like, well, I'm just going to listen to what Rodgers has to say before jumping down his throat on.
You don't think it's partially because of his attitude and because he always acts like he knows something that you don't know?
I do. You're right. He has come
because
off that way.
If he didn't come off that way, I think people would listen to him more.
I think you're right.
Because when he talks, it's not like he sounds stupid.
It's really amazing how someone talking for a long period of time can come off as completely different than your perception of them.
Sure.
Assuming you actually take the time to listen to them, and also assuming that they're being truthful and they're not just bloviating and saying a bunch of things that aren't actually true.
Sean, do you like Aaron Rodgers? What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and the way he's evolved in media?
At a certain point, I'm like, all right, dude, like, can we just play football? Like him going on the Joe Rogan podcast, like the whole idea of like, I just want to put the whole vaccine thing behind me, da da da. Also, I'm going to go on Joe Rogan and talk about it.
But he clearly
Correct.
Doesn't want to put it
Great
behind
point.
Him. Sure.
No, but he says like, oh, you know,
why is everyone talking
yeah, why
about
is
it?
Why is it such
You're
a big deal to everybody? And then he keeps adding to it. If
That's
he actually
I mean.
Wanted to not talk, if it was something so horrible he didn't want to talk about, he just wouldn't talk about it.
Like he's smug.
Yeah, and a big reason people just don't like being talked down to, and a little bit of Joe Rogan too, but Aaron Rodgers' attitude a lot of times when he's talking to people or talking to the media, it seems like he is talking to, even when it's about football.
That's what I mean.
It seems like
I
it's
know
just
something
very like
you don't know.
Yeah, it's very like you probably won't get this, but I do because I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Is he talking to the average person, or is he talking to someone that he maybe has a contentious relationship with that reports on him every day, has interesting thoughts on that person every day that may or may not be fair or unfair, and it could be based off of not even his actual performance on the field? Like, that's one of the things that I get how that can be what is taken away from the average Aaron Rodgers interview, press conference, or something like that. But I don't know, in a setting where he doesn't have those specific people in front of him, where he doesn't feel the need to be on edge, combative, I feel like you hear a different guy. And in that podcast, I was interested in what he had to say. I get what you're saying, Sean, in that, like, yeah, he's said a couple of times he just wants to move on from it. Well, of course he did. And I think that's why he didn't answer the question truthfully to begin with, like, about immunized. Like, because he knew no matter what he said, he was going to be forced into a box. If he said that he was vaccinated or indeed was vaccinated, they were going to ask him, and he highlighted this on the podcast, they were going to ask him if he feels less of his teammates that weren't vaccinated. And of course, if he says he's not vaccinated, everyone's going to come after him and act as if he is this bad, despicable person, which, by the way, they ended up doing eventually.
Yeah, no, it makes sense why he wants to talk about certain things, like not, you know, being asked questions standing in front of a podium, and why, like, I do get that it's more attractive to him to talk about, like the vaccines and stuff like that, and more wild stuff with Joe Rogan, who's just going to sit there and like nod along, and be like, "Yeah, that's crazy."
He does
like,
not challenge people. Like, that is true.
He does not. He does
he
not.
Had Zuckerberg on last week too, and he didn't do it either,
yeah,
there either.
Him bringing you on the podcast is like at this point, it's like I am just going to like let you talk, throw some questions at you, and nod along, and be like, "Wow, that's crazy."
What I will say is that I am one of many people who always advocates for more transparency among athletes, even if they say things that I don't like. The pattern I've noticed is Aaron Rodgers will say things that people don't like, and then people will get on him for it, attack him. Media people that are supposed to be unbiased, particularly national reporters, will say disgusting. I will say, like, if we want transparency among athletes and we want them to be honest and authentic and we don't want cliches, you got to accept the things you don't like.
Yeah, and also, too, I mean, context is always good. Yeah. We are in an industry where context is now heavy, weighs things down, slows things down, keeps people from getting to the point. But very often, and not all the time, some people, when you ask them to expand on their thoughts, you'll find out that they're crazy or they're completely full of it. But sometimes, too, you're actually going to get some interesting insight. And yeah, I feel worse about the NFL, the way that they handled it. Because the NFL basically just accepted everything that had been being said publicly. And maybe we were all supposed to. But I think 5 years from now, 6 years from now, the documentaries we're going to see, specifically in the sports world about how all this stuff was handled, I'd be very fascinated
Fox
to take
News
a look at
Paul,
all of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it
happening?
Here first.
What's going on?
I will say this, too. Football-wise, very important year for Aaron Rodgers. I think he needs to win a Super Bowl. He's already won two MVPs. He can't just win one Super Bowl and have the legacy that people think he's going to have.
Yes. That is a very good point. That, yeah. Like, it's so
enough
much worse for him
else.
That he just doesn't, like, he still, it, like, loses the first playoff game he plays in every year.
Right.
Like, that, it would be so much better if he actually went to the Super Bowl, if he was Joe Burrow.
Super Bowl champion, yeah. Aaron Rodgers has much better opinions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, I don't think anybody's a big fan of Jackson Mahomes. I don't even know if his brother's a big fan of Jackson Mahomes. You got to hear what this NFL player had to say about him. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Jackson Mahomes has become famous for much more than just being Patrick Mahomes' brother. He yells at people in small businesses, says, "Do you know who I am?" at bars. He dances on, does a TikTok on the number of Sean Taylor, which was great.
He's famous for sucking.
Really
good
bad.
Good for him. Only in America.
Yeah, only in America. All right, so Tyreek Hill was asked on a podcast about Jackson Mahomes. Listen to this exchange.
Did you get handcuffed to Jackson Mahomes?
Oh, no way. You said they're handcuffed to Jackson Mahomes.
For 24 hours to win another Super Bowl.
I ain't even going to count to y'all. That Super Bowl can got there. Wait. I got to wait. Why?
First off, Tyreek Hill's podcast has been very entertaining.
He's provided us with content. Shout out to Tyreek Hill.
This was on, I guess, Logan or Jake or whatever, the Paul brothers, one of those things. I don't care. I'm with him. I don't think
awful.
There are many things that would make it worthwhile to be around that guy for 24 hours. Maybe an hour. Maybe 30 minutes. 24 hours being around that guy. Zero chance he doesn't take out his phone to try and do at least one TikTok with you. And then create a TikTok trend because you'll be sitting off to the side like trying to look away from him. And he'll be like, it's the new trend. It's the I'm handcuffed to a guy who doesn't want to be with me challenge.
The Pouty Paul challenge.
It would turn into that.
Yeah, the Pouty Paul challenge. Yeah.
Do you remember the report from one of several false reports from Rich Orenberger, who like had 2 years in the NFL, that said that Patrick Mahomes had told his brother and fiance that they couldn't come? And I listened to that and I'm like, okay, even I know that's not true.
He should have, though.
But if there were one quarterback,
just Jackson,
who had a brother that he didn't want to come to his games, would it not be Jackson Mahomes?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there you go.
We just talked about him.
That's true. That's true. All right. It's time for garbage time, fellas.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I don't watch the Little League World Series. I catch some of the clips of the funny moments, but apparently Hawaii won the Little League World Series on a mercy rule.
Yeah, they absolutely clobbered the poor team that they ended up playing. And they beat Pearland. I mean, this was an absolute wagon of a Little League team. I'll be honest, too. I don't watch a whole lot of it, but shout out to having a team that wins by mercy rule. I think that's badass. We won, and they didn't even play the full game.
Also, shout out to Pearland. I guess they have a really good Little League team.
They do.
Like,
they do
year
very
after
much.
Year after year. I didn't realize that. All right, I saw a very disturbing video and picture that I would have rather not seen of a player who allegedly soiled himself.
Oh, yeah.
A Spanish basketball player at the Spanish World Cup.
This was the World Cup of basketball, yeah. Now, I think you have to read this for yourself, but okay. He's wearing white shorts, and there is some discoloration on the pants. Now, perhaps he sat in yellow Gatorade.
But that's not yellow. It's brown.
Okay.
But it looks like it could be a mirror. Oh, yeah. He might have had, like, the drizzles or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like where you... Or
I know shart. Exactly what you're saying.
A shart or the drizzles or the...
Look, they happen.
You sneeze.
I feel bad
all
for
of
him.
A sudden, you're leaving El Tiempo.
There's nothing worse.
Backfired a little.
Yeah.
Legitimate backfire. There's nothing worse than that. You can't do anything about it. I mean, if they had been wearing their darks, the basketball team...
True.
You wouldn't have seen this. But unfortunately, you know, a little white... I'm hoping that he just sat in some olive oil or pasta sauce or something like that. Maybe he was having some spaghetti before the game.
Chris Rock was apparently at a Phoenix comedy show and was asked if he would host the 2023 Oscars, to which he responded, "Everybody, going back to the Oscars would be like telling Nicole Brown Simpson to go back to the restaurant where she left her eyeglasses before she was killed." Classy response by Chris Rock.
I can't believe that they had the balls to ask him.
I know.
I mean, talk about shameless ratings ploys.
He had to have a response ready, though.
I would just hang up. I think he wants to not be a part of this at all. Because if this happened to a lot of other stand-up comics, wouldn't this be the entire subject of the tour they're currently on? Rock seems to be trying to distance himself from it as much as he possibly can. Credit to him for that. How absolutely pathetic are the Oscars that one of the executives figured, you know what, let's ask Chris. Let's just see what happens.
I don't pay attention to award shows, and I'm going to be honest.
Me neither.
The only thing I saw from the Oscars was that.
I only tuned in after it happened.
So, you know,
everyone was talking about it.
That's why I thought it might be a conspiracy, because that's the only thing I saw people posting about regarding the Oscars.
A lot of people thought that.
I thought that might be the case. I will say the responses since then, I think, have swayed me that it might have not been. But definitely seemed like it, quote-unquote, traumatized all involved.
If they paid him a certain amount of money, maybe he'd do it. Like, there has to be a dollar figure, maybe not to be handcuffed to Jackson Mahomes, but to actually host the Oscars. I don't know. I mean, it is a night to be in front of everybody. But at the same time, you don't get to do all the jokes that you want to. And the guys that generally do get called upon to be the host of that show are telling, like, the most PG, boring jokes. It's all those sensitive, self-important actors that are there that'll tell you in their speech after they win to go save the whales or some stupid crap. These people, they can't handle anyone making fun of them, which I think is a real, like, bad sign.
It really is. You should be able to handle that as a comedian because it is literally your job to make fun of other people.
Or especially, but if you're an actor too, don't you feel the same way?
Right. Like 100%.
Have some of a brief link to the real world. But these people just
They don't because they join Scientology
farts.
And then like drink pig blood and all that.
Oh, that's true.
Michael Jackson, a new story says he used 19 fake IDs to score drugs. Of course, the drug usage is what ended up, you know, killing the king of pop.
I remember.
Rest in peace.
Didn't his doctor go to jail or something like that?
Yeah, it was a plastic surgeon, too. He became close with a plastic surgeon that I think was writing him prescriptions.
Reading this story, it sounds like Michael Jackson had all sorts of means to get prescriptions if he wanted, and that it wasn't necessarily one guy. I, of course, don't know all the information.
Oh, I mean, he was almost a billionaire, I'm sure. But he was one of the most powerful musicians in the world.
I'm surprised he even needs a fake ID to get drugs.
Also, who's going to buy that's not Michael
Jackson? Yeah, who's going to look at it and say, like, oh, what?
Did he
Tommy
have
Salami?
The fake
you look
ID
just like Michael Jackson.
Of a 20-year-old pale porcelain-type college student at Yale? Like, a woman? I mean, who could pass as Michael Jackson?
He like, moonwalks in.
Literally only Michael Jackson.
Hi, it's me, Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, no.
From South Park.
Oh, no.
There was an episode of that. I wonder how he did it. He must have had a disguise. Like a disguise to complete these fake IDs.
Maybe he just like sent the IDs via the internet.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably some sort of online thing where like he didn't actually like it's not like buying liquor at a liquor store.
Yesterday, by the way, was Michael Jackson's birthday. He was born August 29th, 1958 in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Is that the Gary, Indiana song?
It was, I think, from The Music Man, I believe is what that's from. But yeah. Michael Jackson, gone
Gary's
too soon.
Rough.
Gary has taken a little bit of a downturn. Ozzy Osbourne, by the way, has given up acid after spending an hour talking to a horse. Big news, guys.
Yeah, so apparently he's been off the acid for a while, but he shared finally why he's been off the acid. It does seem like people are microdosing acid a lot these days, so now you know that you may talk to a horse. I am not, by the way, promoting the use of acid to talk to a horse. We know we have a massive equestrian riding audience out there. We don't want you horse riders.
Shout out to the horse girls. Paul
start
Single.
Experiment.
quote, the end of it came when we got back to England. He told Classic Rock, I took 10 tabs of acid, went for a walk in a field, talked to a horse for about an hour. In the end, the horse turned around and told me to go F off. That was it for me.
Oh, wow. The horse told him to F off. That would be traumatizing.
So he should really credit the horse for his sobriety.
Looks like BoJack Horseman or something.
Yeah. All right. That Mr. Ed, that's a Tuesday for Vanessa and Gallant. Again, big thank you to Greg Rosenthal for hopping on and talking all things NFL with us. Up next, of course, you got the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Thanks, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.